Merci beaucoup. Merci beaucoup, beaucoup. Au revoir. Merci. This is the only time of the whole tour we've done a second encore.
And that second encore is queued up. If I had one of those party whistles, this is when I would blow it. Hello. You're listening to John. This is Cue It Up on CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting live, Vancouver, British Columbia, unceded Coast Salish, Musqueam land. And came a bit late today. Luckily, we had an extended set from Muzak for The Observant, so it was very cool. Got a chance to listen to that. And we have something kind of out of the ordinary for Cue It Up as well, you know, instead of the usual sort of weird collage, because as it turns out, that's what I like to do when I'm left to my own devices. We are very fortunate to have a special guest coming on air quite soon, Stephen Lyon of Off Season Records and core member of Fond of Tigers. Now, what is the occasion for this? Besides the numerous projects which Off Season has released this year alone, we, as a station, are participating in something very exciting this upcoming weekend. On Sunday, it is going to be the first, hopefully first annual, or, you know, maybe it'll transform next year. Who knows? It's just too much excitement to consider for the time being. We're going to be partnering with a fellow community campus station in Burnaby, CJSF, on the Record Store Day After Party. And that involves a show at the Astoria. There's going to be tons of very cool artists playing, such as Jerk Jails. And there are also going to be some local vendors. So, you know, Record Store Day, lovely initiative. This really fantastic idea of bringing music back into, you know, something earthy, something analog, something community-oriented. But it's also a hectic day. It's a day where a lot of, you know, the conglomerates, which are now in the business of selling independence and selling vinyl, sort of have the ability to bully and dictate what accesses Record Store Day, what the average purveyor of Record Store Day actually receives. And in many cases, Record Store Day can be a difficult time for record store owners and for independent alternative labels. So we have a ton of great community vendors at Record Store Day on Sunday, both people who are, well, community vendors, but also representatives of incredibly cool and vital independent record labels as well. So Stephen will be on air to chat with us briefly. Until then, most recent release from the label Off Season Records is Fond of Tigers' Uninhabit. I believe it is from last year. However, the LP has just come out, so very apt that we should play it in the run-up to Record Store Day. Here is Everything Moves from Fond of Tigers.
Thank you. BC teens aged out of foster care without a permanent family.
Adoption is not just for babies. Teens need families too. Only 24 teens in BC were adopted last year.
November is Adoption Awareness Month. To find out more about adopting a teen, contact the Adoptive Families Association of BC. Call 1-877-ADOPT-07 or visit us at bcadopt.com.
Ever heard of Pitch Perfect? UBC A Cappella can sing on harmony in queue. Made up of 100 members across four choirs, the student-led club regularly performs on and off campus. Check out UBC A Cappella on Facebook for more information regarding their Aka Amazing end-of-term concerts.
My church offers no absolutes. She tells me worship in the bedroom. The only heaven I'll be sent to.
UBC Africa Awareness Initiative is a student-run organization that advocates for a greater inclusion of Africa and African-related issues in UBC academia and social life. Some of our major events include Dioko, UBC's largest African dance party, Culture Night, a celebration of African culture and diversity, and Conference Week, where our goal is to foster more intelligent and intellectual dialogue about Africa on the UBC campus. With this in mind, we hope to contribute towards creating global citizens with a more informed perspective of the continent.
Hello, hello again. You are listening to Cue It Up here on CITR 101.9 FM. For this last bit of the program today, we have a very special interview coming up with Stephen Lyons, core member of Fond of Tigers, who are just about to release the LP for their new, from the last quarter of last year, LP, that's a long play, Uninhabit. And we just heard the track, Everything Moves From Them. We are just about to get Stephen on the line, going to get a chance to talk about off-season. What we're leading into here is on Sunday, CITR CJSF is having a Record Store Day after party. Off-season will be one of the vendors, representatives there. We've got other great labels such as Agony Club, such as Big Smoke, local labels, giving a space and voice to independent musicians. Because Record Store Day, the values it represents are really core and crucial to what stations like CITR and CJSF do. But there is a sort of a disproportion of who has access to voice on Record Store Day in terms of the big labels, in terms of the big releases. There is a bit of a squeeze. So that's what we're trying to do on Sunday, and hopefully you'll be able to make it out. That show is happening at the Astoria. Again, just getting Stephen on the line now, so please stay tuned.
Mars and Pluto, the caribou whisper.
And sorry about the delays there. For those of you listening now, we're about to go on air with Stephen Lyons. Stephen, how are you doing today?
I'm well. How are you?
I am just doing fine myself. It's good to finally get a chance to talk to you. I've been waiting all day.
All day. Yes, we've been, it's been anticipation, just reaching a fever pitch.
Just trying to maintain that fever pitch until Sunday. Yeah. Although you were just telling me about, you know, you're trying to keep up the momentum too. You have a record release party coming out for Fond of Tigers' new LP soon.
Yeah, exactly. On Saturday, we're doing a show at the Cobalt for our record release. And I think you mentioned that the digital and the CD kind of stuff came out a couple months ago, but vinyl always takes a bit longer, mm-hmm. a bit more of a process. So finally, this is our first show where we actually have the vinyl, which just arrived a couple of days ago, and we actually haven't played a show in Vancouver since July. So this is our first kind of the record release, whether we had done it for the digital or the vinyl. It's kind of an all in one. Mm-hmm. But I definitely was worried about the vinyl getting pushed back even further, you know, because like you say, some of the major labels, if they want to do a, my worst fear was having a, you know, that Spin Doctors or something re-release 25 year anniversary of, you know, Wallflowers album or something. No reference to these things, but you know, you just get bumped in the queue, and then next thing you know, oh, your vinyl's going to take another 6 months because, you know, who knows what. Mm-hmm. But it's here. Yeah.
So did it feel like it had really released until the vinyl made its way to you?
I think once, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a physical reality to carting all the boxes of vinyl up the, you know, up the stairs. Was helping the FedEx delivery or UPS or whoever it was. And when he saw that my building didn't have an elevator and, or the off-season offices didn't have an elevator, he was very nonplussed about the idea of going up all the stairs. So I was helping him move up the stairs and he's like, what is this, 180 gram vinyl? I said, that's right. That's a commitment to sonic quality that we have. So it's an extra, you know.
But like you say, it makes it feel real, especially if you're carrying it up a flight of stairs.
Yeah, it definitely felt real at that point when I sat it all down and, you know, looked at it, and it's boxed immensely. But I think it'll feel even more so on Saturday when, you know, people are there and we're, you know, we had a bit of a pre-order campaign that we did, so. Just because I wanted to gauge whether people wanted vinyl. So a lot of people bought it, you know, quite a few months ago. So there's been people that have been, you know, patiently, you know, on the continuum of patience to frustration with how long it's taken. But I think once everyone's there on Saturday and they have their vinyl in their hand and we're playing a hometown show again, I think that'll be when it feels real.
Totally. And it's such a story too. It's like you don't get the same kind of story with other kinds of releases necessarily.
Yeah.
I use that particular wording because I actually wanted to talk a bit about off season and how it started, because I think it's a very interesting kind of tale as well. And I was wondering if you would be able to talk a bit about basically how did off season start?
Well, I guess it kind of started as the idea for a number of different projects having an umbrella to exist under, and as more things came into the world of that world, you know, the umbrella would widen, and each project would kind of help the other projects to get out in the world through whatever their small, because it's all fairly small, very small things, you know, so our reach individually wouldn't be much, but you know, as soon as you start putting a bit more collective pieces together, it starts widening, and the whole point of it is to, you know, share it with a larger world. Still always, each of the things are going to remain niche, but it's a matter of kind of at least getting it closer to other people's hands and ears than any of the one projects would be able to do on their own power. So yeah, basically there's no genre preset with any of them, and most of the projects kind of vibrate around genres or don't adhere to too many in particular. I mean, there's a few that are a little bit more in the kind of alt country zone, and then there's some that are like noise rock, and you know, it's kind of all over the place, but none of them are very, none of them are straight up, you know, main street as far as any genre goes. So they're all a bit idiosyncratic. That's kind of the main thing about all the projects. They each have their own sort of idiosyncratic life and world that they exist in. And then they just kind of get linked to one another and outwards.
I was going to ask, like, I was wondering what you would articulate as connecting these different projects. And before maybe we could dive into that, talking more about the origins of Off-Season Records, I read that you were working with Colin McLean at the time on a project that has just recently released.
Right, yeah.
And
so, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. Oh, well, his philosophy was he was very focused on maintaining something and you can correct me if I'm mistaken, but something spiritual or physical and intimate, just about these like tapes that he would record and send to friends and family.
Yeah, yeah. So for years before we actually started working on that Books and Branches material together, he would have just a few people that he sent these tapes that he would make, and I think they would each be, I don't even know if they were dubbed multiples. I think they might have been just one-offs, and he would send one to his friend over there, and he would mail one to a different person. So it was like these very individual and very intimate experiences that he would share with very few people, and those people really loved it. And I basically, you know, I just wanted to be able to scale that up. And I mean, scaling that up would be from like five people to more than five people, you know. But I said to him, like, this is a special thing that I think can scale up a little bit so that you can share it with some more people without losing the kind of personal connection to the music from when it's being recorded. So we ended up doing a recording at the time out at the Hive, when the Hive was in Burquitlam, with Jesse Gander, and it was just, you know, went about the recording in a very specific way. We added just a bass player, Dave Shokren, who, you know, kind of rounded it out, filled out some of the parts that we weren't doing, and then we kept a lot of the spirit of those tapes, but then kind of added some other things and, you know, made it that its own thing. So that was the first kind of, that was slated as the first off-season release, but mm-hmm. for various reasons, you know, just life things happen. So it was called off, but over the years, I was really, I loved that album. I really liked what we did. So just recently, me and Colin were talking about getting it out a little bit into the world. You know, nothing crazy. There's no plans to, you know, tour it or you know, really push it too hard. But we did do a small duo performance, and you know, it felt good to have that out in the world and not just kind of, you know, on a shelf in my, you know, in the lavish off-season.
yeah, certainly keeping true to that original ethos of working together and helping each other share further.
Yeah.
Would you say that's like a common trend, like thread throughout the releases on the label, that these are, you know, because they are on the label, you do want people to hear them, but there is that level of intimacy and that Colin McLean was originally reaching for?
Yeah, I think each of them have their own world. They're kind of their own social world. I'm on the records, mm-hmm. But I feel like each of them have their own kind of world. There's an intimacy to Fonda Tigers exchange with one another, or like a kind of a world that we inhabit that is very different than, say, Parkland or Sunbelt, or Books and Branches. But within that framework, it's kind of almost the same thing, but rendered in a different way. It's really hard to kind of put into words, but basically each of these things have their own spirit that is expressed as necessary by its own thing. Yeah, that's a pretty vague statement, but you know, they're each their own little world of intimacy and creative. The imperative is creativity and creating a unique thing in the world rather than, I don't know why other people do it. I'm not sure, but that's why we do it.
Well, it seems like there is a pragmatic element to off-season, but at the same time, did you ever see, when you were growing up, let's say, did you ever see yourself operating a small independent label?
No, I don't think so.
Have you taken to it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how, like, I don't know how good I am at it. I guess the main thing is I know for, in a lot of cases, it's the effort is more than what would happen otherwise. So it's definitely a boost to some degree. Like, it's better than nothing. that's actually on my business.
To say the least, better than nothing.
Maybe I should just rename it Better Than Nothing. Right?
I think that's basically what we do at CITR. It's better than nothing.
No, but I mean, I enjoy, like, I really like the recording process. I like having, I like creating special experiences in the studio and the result of that studio work. I really like it. And so the label kind of helps to translate that outwards into the world. And so I'm very proud of all the things that we have done and all the many different experiences that each of the releases represent. And some of them have gone, you know, in very different directions. You know, the Sunbelt album, we recorded it in Arizona, which in itself was a really unique life experience for us going down there into the desert to do that. But then the way we ended up putting it out, which was like a 168-page book, like a work of fiction, that was a collaboration with visual artists and a couple of us in the group doing writing, and releasing it as a book/album download, kind of expanded on that idea that it's a unique situation and a unique creative endeavor. And so we put it out in a way that is right for that one. Whereas, for example, maybe the French for Sled Dogs album, which just came out, that's more of an archival thing. That's not going to be touring. It's not going to be doing anything other than existing in the digital world. So they're both releases on the same label, and I'm in both of them, but they're very different. They're very distinct from one another, both in their sound, because French for Sled Dogs is pretty noisy, aggressive music, and Sunbelt is kind of dusty and wide open, quiet stuff for the most part. They each kind of also take up a different place in the world. French for Sled Dogs is digital. Sunbelt is a more of a tactile experience with the book, which we co-release with Anvil Press. So it has a very different life, and each project is treated in its own way.
Well, I have to say, personally, I find that extremely admirable that the label isn't just this promotional apparatus, but you're really trying to find the best means of representing this particular vision.
Yeah, it's the heart of each thing. Another project on the label, Parkland, is kind of part of what makes each of that thing. Each iteration of that is that it's kind of a different membership each time and a different approach. So there's been three Parkland things. One is a digital, and then one is a double vinyl, thing, and the other one's another vinyl, but they're each unique kind of pieces. With the vinyl, have references, like co-reference points to the artwork, which Dave Wilson, who does a lot of artwork for label, he did special covers for each of the vinyl releases. But the next Parkland thing is going to be a visual thing. It's going to be a short film, and it's going to exist in that world. So even within that one project, there's iterations, and each of them are kind of treated differently because they will be distinctly different experiences with different lineups, actually, as well. So
I'd say for the music you're releasing, that is the way to do it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Better than nothing. No, definitely. Like, lots of impressive stuff happening at the label. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you've released three projects. The new LP, it is the physical vinyl release for Fond of Tigers' Uninhabit album that came out in December or October of last year.
Yeah.
And
you said did you say the fourth quarter before?
Fourth quarter. Yeah, my business. I was a literature graduate. So
I was worried about your business acumen.
Bizarre. Yeah.
Grill me on my tax returns or something.
I think December is like the third quarter. And at any rate, but you also had Caribou Whispers from Books and Branches, which is your project with Colin McLean from early 2000s, early 2010s. And you also had. French for Sled Dogs?
French for Sled Dogs, yeah. That's the digital-only, another kind of archival related thing. That record was also recorded at the Hive back in Berquitlam. So those are, and actually it's the same rhythm section for both those records, despite the fact that they're completely different kinds of records.
Very, very cool. Is there anything you can entice us with beyond the upcoming LP release on Saturday?
Well, the next that's the big kind of next project,
and that's at the Cobalt.
That's the Cobalt this Saturday, early-ish show. So it doors at 8, and the opening act is Leave, and they're on at 8:45, and we'll be on at 9:30, and then curfew at 11. Like, not, you know, you don't get kicked out, but if you want to have your own after party there, stay on. If you want to leave, you can leave, but it'll be a good post record store day. For example, you're up on Main Street at Red Cat or Neptune, you can just roll down the hill and find yourself at the Cobalt. Mm-hmm. Then in not too long, about a week after that, Sunbelt is doing another recording. So that's the band that our first recording we did in Arizona, and kind of that the beginning of a dusty, you know, dried out kind of slow kind of music. Anyway, the next album, which will be a bit of a process, the recording process is going to take a little bit of time. It's a more elaborate lineup. There'll be and it's the conceit of this one is that it'll be like a soundtrack to a Canadian spaghetti western from 1974, which was never finished. So it has this kind of meta-narrative. I don't know, meta-narrative. Sorry, strike that from the record.
It has a story.
Conceit.
It has a character.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's probably won't be out for a while because we're going to have a couple more sessions. There's going to be a lot of sonic detail to that record. We're still kind of determining what life that will take once it's completed. I think, you know, with the last Sunbelt album, we didn't know we were going to put a book out until we had finished the recording. And then these ideas kind of started. So we used the songs and the lyrics and the ideas to kind of spread outwards into this story of a kind of a rise and fall of a company town over the course of several generations. So that kind of revealed itself post recording. And I think the same will happen with this next Sunbelt album, though there's a bit more of a pre-arranged parameters for it. And then Parkland at the end of May will be doing a special kind of day of filming ahead of this. So we'll be filming through the day, working on music, recording, and then in the evening there'll be kind of a small crowd, you know, and then we'll do another kind of a live, more of a live set for a small group of people, and then that will be eventually turned into a short film. So that's what that one's going to be. So basically, yeah, the next things are, you know, Fallen Tigers out, Sunbelt in progress, Parkland movie thing, short movie in progress. So for now, like, it's kind of, there's no releases that I can tell you a date for. It's kind of like, mm-hmm. We got a lot of things out in the last year with two Parkland albums and
it seems with some projects, with some of your projects, they just need to take their time.
Yeah. Ideally, not 10 years.
Hopefully not. Hopefully not. Sorry. I'm supposed to put on the next program now, Shoes on a Wire from Malin Taylor. Just before I go, first of all, thank you so much for talking to me, Stephen. What does off-season mean? Why off-season records?
I've always liked like interstitial spaces and things that are defined by maybe less obvious things that require a bit more investigation. So I don't know, for me, off-season was like, for example, like a sports team, you know what they do during the season. That's very clear. It's very obvious. And it's displayed on, sports television. But the off-season is a lot more mysterious and variegated, and who knows, the range of things that are possible in off season are actually so much wider than the things that are possible in season. And I think that's kind of, it's like, while everyone maybe looking at the season, here's an off season to explore.
All right.
I think that's what it means.
Well, thank you for creating these worlds for us to explore. Thanks for chatting with me, Stephen. Can chat with you a bit more after this, but we've really got to transition to the next program. You've been listening to an interview with Stephen Lyons, Fond of Tigers. If you want to check out their LP release party, it's this Saturday. It starts at 8 p.m. at the Cobalt. That's Saturday, April 22nd, 8 p.m. at the Cobalt. And check out our Record Store Day after party on Sunday as well. That's at CITR-CJSF Cross Joint. Coming up now, we have Malin Taylor's episode 2 of Shoes on a Wire. Very sorry for those who have been waiting for this. We are going to go to that now. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live.